Thank you. Thank you for letting me come before you and we'll have this meeting together. Bob has got a job to do with his daughter, and so this is a chance for us to be without Bob, but I would rather him start off everything and let him finish it. But been in this position before, so it's okay with me. I just thank God that we have a group of people that are willing to come together on a Wednesday night and praise the Lord, worship God, and do whatever we need to do to further the kingdom, right? Well, okay. I think we should start with prayer and give Lord all the glory for this day. Father, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity of praising you, giving you glory. And that's why we gather, Father. We come together so that we can lift each other up, hear the praises, which lifts our hearts. We lift our hearts now to you, to glorify you, to praise you, and to thank you for all these things, in everything and for all things, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, tonight is a little, we're going to talk about connections. And I thought it was quite apropos after yesterday. Bill Franz and I worked on this electrical problems in the church here, the bathroom is especially, climbing up in the attic there and crawling around trying to get things done. Well, we finally got it all physically put together, but then when I wired things together, I suddenly got a big pow, a big spark. No, we didn't get any shocks. But it was quite interesting that there was one thing that, you see, I didn't quite see. So I called Pastor Bob, the hero. And I asked Bob, I says, I told Bob what I got and what the problem was. And he says, I says, are you on your way home? He says, no, I am home. I thought, oh. And he's got quite a ways to go. But anyways, dutifully, he came down, and he crawled up there and took a look. He said, oh, he says, here's the problem. So just a few little quick changes, and everything worked. Now, you see, that's nice thing to have somebody in high places that has got good connections. pardon the pun. But there's a few more like that coming up. I had a few thoughts that came across in my mind in the last couple of weeks. And I decided that I've got to get a little story together. And what I wanted to do was talk about some of my past experiences where the Lord has always been a blessing. Because I do believe that when you can speak to some people, anybody, even if it's amongst ourselves, of a experience that you've had with the Lord, that is edification. That is lifting people up. That causes people to say, you know, that I remember something like that. And you don't realize how many times you've been helped and blessed without even realizing that it was the Lord that did it. I'm serious. There's a few things that I came across in my mind, and I thought, wow, that was the Lord's at work. Okay? So tonight we're going to talk about connections. Now, when I was working for a multinational corporation years ago, I had the opportunity of working with a gentleman that was had a very keen acumen of how to manage people that were difficult, even at the best of times. he told me before we went for dinner, when he came back from when he came out from South Carolina, that this customer had sent a long letter to the company, and expounding on some of the errors that I had made, and how what a terrible job I was doing, and how I at times caused problems. And I sat and listened to my supervisor telling me these things, and I'm trying to think of where in the world did this happen. And he says, "Don't worry about it. We've checked all these things out, dates and times and places. We know where you were and what you were doing." And he says, "All I want you to do is just sit and watch and listen." And we went to a very good cafe, a restaurant, and Marie and I and this man and his wife and my boss, his name was Floyd, a great guy. I would work for him for anywhere, any place, any time. He's just that kind of a person. Had a good sense of humor, and I loved the guy dearly. So, as we were eating dinner, terrific dinner too, without saying a word to this man, my boss, Floyd, just spent all his time, all his energies, all his speaking to his wife. He never said one word to this man. Do you remember that, Marie? Yeah. He never said a word. And I'm sitting there. The gentleman would, once in a while, he would ask a question, and Floyd would just ignore him. Or he'd say, "Yeah, no." Nothing more. But just the way he did it, he could show this man just exactly how the cow eats a cabbage. It was just amazing. And I was sitting there, and I was getting a little bit, a little apprehensive. I'm a little uneasy. I was getting a little nervous watching this whole thing. And it was all over. We left. And I took this gentleman home and his wife. And my boss, Floyd, he just took off and went to his motel. And what amazed me was that this man never said a word to me after that. He never said a word. And I was wondering how they're going to straighten this out, because it's not me that's going to have to apologize or anything. I'm not going to apologize, of course. But I guess that later on, Floyd called him and said a few words. He says, "I spent 2 minutes on the phone," and he hung up. And the man knew exactly what he did wrong. First of all, they're not going to fire me. And secondly, most of it was law. Nonsense. So you see, this is the time when I was thinking, I had a good connection with Floyd. He took me under his arms, under his wings, and he showed me a lot of things. And we had a lot of tough times to go through. And when we did, he was always there showing me just a little step at a time what to do and how to do it. That's a good connection. That's a friend. Not just a manager of your, not just an immediate supervisor, but he was very astute. He understood, and he knew how to handle people. Handling people. Good connections. He had an amazing, what would you call it, an amazing working knowledge of what we were selling, because he was a service manager. He not only knew his products, but he sure knew how to handle people. And I remember one time we were having a real rough go, and he told me, he says, "Always turn things around. Just turn things around. Don't take it personally." He says, "If things go wrong in the machine, that's the machine." He says, we'll figure it out, but just give yourself time. Well, one day I was making a demonstration out near Grand Junction, And we had a machine which was which went down the track and it heated the rail, so that they could. The rail has to be laid and anchored at a certain temperature, the average mean temperature of the area. And the chief engineer was there, the division engineer, all kinds of mechanics and all kinds of people, all watching this machine. And it had a big propane tank, and it was blowing these flames against the rail. This heated the rail, and it expanded the rail. And if you had to, if it was too hot, you had to cool the rail with ice. So then you'd have a train come down there with huge tanks of water with large pieces of ice sitting in the tanks, and they just spray it. But they'd get it to the right temperature, and then bang, the anchors go on. Now, this flame-throwing machine was going down the track, and I'm watching it, making sure that everything's right, you know. And this gentleman was the chief engineer of the railroad, Mr. Ed Waring, really a fine gentleman, really a beautiful guy. I was walking along. Finally, he tapped me on the shoulder. He says, Harry, he says, it seems like we're getting the temperature up. But he says, I'm afraid that we can't have what we got back there. And I turned around and looked. I got a quarter mile of burning track. The railroad ties were on fire. And he says, what are you going to do with this, Harry? And I says, well, sir, I says, this is one of our better home demonstrations. I didn't know what to tell him. There was a bunch of guys back there, all these guys, the mechanics, even the division engineers out there, putting ballast and sand and dirt on the ties. So, yeah, it worked great. So modifications needed to be made. But, you know, because of the way the people accepted me, thank God, there was always a way out. And they bought the machine. We made some modifications. In fact, the people in the Denver Grand, they had some mechanics there that really knew what they're doing. They knew how to put it back together the way they wanted it. Everything that we sold them, they always changed everything to their specifications and the way they wanted it. Okay. When you think about it, all through your life, what are the connections you've had in your life? Some good, some not so good. Can you make improvements from where you are right now? If you examine the past few years of your life, you'd be surprised how many people helped you. And you'd be surprised how many people that you've helped yourself. Good times and bad. And these interactions, all of these interactions, connecting with people, is not happenstance. It is done by design. I know it. By the things that have happened in my life, I know that these connections and these interactions with people have been to teach me, show me, to help me, and to help others, to learn how to live under God's ways and His rules and regulations. Before I was a Christian, I was being groomed by some very influential and interesting people, men and women. And I can think of the people back there in Canada that taught me a lot of things. They showed me a lot of things. But did I listen? Not too well. Not too close. I know of one couple that my Marie and I know, Bill and Erna, from back in Canada. They were just two beautiful people. And we had some interactions with them. It was good. But they were trying to help me. But at that time, I still couldn't get into the Christian thing. But it wasn't long after I met Marie, things worked out better. I got a good connection. I got Marie. You see, everything that happens in your life is always under the guidance of God, because Nothing happens in your life unless he has checked this out first. He knows what's going to happen, and he knows how to handle the situation. Even children, you can't leave them out. Little children, they can teach you patience, child rearing, you know, the rear end, you know. you know, but they're also the ones that will teach you how to, if you really listen to them, you can teach you how to relax, enjoy life, have fun. Kids are full of fun. They don't want to be, you know, stoic and all stiff and unnatural. We get that with sophistication. Children's enthusiasm can be very infectious. I know that after I retired from the other company, I drove a school bus for a while, and I had more fun with those kids, especially the junior highs. They were the ones that you could really have some fun with. Now, I don't know, Bill, if you would admit that, but I had fun with them. Yeah, the middle age, yeah, middle school. They don't know whether you're joking, and they don't know exactly where you're coming from, and they don't know where they're going. They don't know where they're coming from. They're in a very mixed-up state, but boy, you can tease them and joke with them, and they sit there for a while and listen to you, and they don't know whether to believe you or what to do with you. And I, of course, gave them a pretty rough time. And it was all good and good fun. But they got connected with me, and I connected with them, and we had a good relationship because I could do things with them that other bus drivers couldn't do it. I had a small bus, and that was up in the mountains, and I had fun with them. Even Bill knows what I'm talking about. And now I've got another connection I want to tell you about. One wintry day, a couple of years ago, Marie and I woke up with a very strange smell in the house. And I searched around, looked around, and I went downstairs. And the smell was part strong down there, and I came down there, and it smelled like hot water. You know, I don't know what it was. And I took a look at the boiler. I've got a hot water heating system in the house. I took a look at the boiler, and the boiler was gone. It was fried. It was broken open and water everywhere. Thank God there was a sewer pipe right next door to it so it could all just drain down there. So as I sat there, I stood there and looked at this thing. Totally by surprise, I don't know what to do. I looked at that, and I looked at it, and I thought, wow. Who do I know that can do something with this? What do I do with it? I mean, it's in the middle of winter, and I'm totally lost now, you know? And I thought, wait a minute, I know a guy, Patrick by name, that has had experience with all kinds of boilers and heaters and all stuff like that. That guy, I'll give Patrick a call. So I did. And I made the connection. And I said, Patrick, here's the problem. And he says, got you covered. I'll call you back in 5 minutes. Just give me a little time. And he said, and he did. In about 5 minutes, he called me back. He said, I found a guy up in LaSalle. He says, I've got two boilers. He's a big one and a small one. Let's go take a look at him. I said, okay. So I picked Patrick up, and away we went. 2 hours later, we're driving happily homewards. Was a boiler, a good one, one of the best in the market. And I paid a very, very small price for it. And I thought, well, you know, if the guy wanted it that cheap, I thought, oh man, is it going to work? Well, we brought it home. Patrick and I started putting it together. And we got it halfway done, and next day Patrick came down with, you had the flu, didn't you? I think it was the flu. So I struggled along by myself and plumbed it all up and got it going. And lo and behold, that thing turned, we turned it on. I hadn't had a speck of trouble since. Now, if you want a good connection, call Patrick. You see? I won't give out the phone number, honestly. But it was amazing. 5 minutes in a phone call, and the problems were solved. Now, that's connections with the right people, a man that loves the Lord, and a man that's ready to help. That's a good connection. Because he knows the Lord, and he's connected with the Lord. This, what I'm talking about joining up with the Lord. I'm talking about connections. These are connections with people through the Lord, because of the Lord, with the Lord, in the Lord, for the Lord. These are good connections. Yeah, it was, that to me was, yeah, a good connection is like a precious jewel. It is. I admire Patrick for what he's gone through and what he's done. It's amazing what he does back there with that soundboard and everything. I don't want to get connected up with that thing. that's his forte. But during the time that Pat and I were working on this, we were praising the Lord. And we were laughing because it was so simple, so quick, so... I mean, it was... In 2 hours after that, we found out that... about 2.5 hours after I knew that the boiler had blown, I'm coming home with the boiler. 2.5 hours? It was crazy, wasn't it? It was amazing. It was just click, click, click. All the connections were made. And we give God the glory. I know that when it comes to business, the whole concept of making a good living comes through connections that you can get your projects advanced. And this will lead you to a way of thinking that because of all your connections, that's doing pretty good. Boy, I got this guy and I got that guy and all these things and all these people that you know. But you know, that can become a detriment. It can go the opposite way. Because you get conceited. You get conceited and you think, well, everything's going good. Doing good, boy. 2-3 years of this, man. I've been doing good for the last 3 or 4 years now. It's getting better, you know. And you start to forget about the Lord. Because of the conceit, the pride in your heart. Think of it. I've seen it happen. Pride will really cause you a problem. Like it says, pride goes before a fall. Now let me explain something here. When we put our emphasis on people, we know we get a twisted sense of priorities. And our impartiality goes out the window. That is, if we aren't impartial in the beginning. Check yourself at this moment. Are you partial to people of importance? Leaders of the community? People of wealth? Do they influence you? How about rock stars? How about American Idol? Kids follow that stuff. Young people follow that stuff. Some elderly people will follow that. But you put your emphasis on that kind of stuff and those kind of people. You can get hurt because you are walking a little further, another step away from the Lord. How do you feel about, say, the homeless? How about the down and out? A drug addict? How about a prostitute? No connection there? You see where we are? How we think? It gets a little sticky when you think about the ones with no means of support. You tend to lean away from them. And the one way that we can correct this problem is by seeing what we're supposed to do as Christians, following the like of Jesus. So it comes down to this. We need to be connected up with Jesus to set our priorities in order. Also to be joined and connected with the right people, those that have the mind of Christ in them. Remember what he said about the rich man, the man was dressed very well, and he comes to your house and you give him the seat of honor. And then say somebody that doesn't have quite the dress, and he's not very well dressed, he's just, you know, a little shaggy here and there. Where do you put him? At your footstool? I understand we don't have that situation in our country right now, but do we invite the poor into our house? When I was in sales and service for a large corporate, the one that I mentioned before, I entertained a lot of top management people. And yes, I enjoyed doing it. Yeah, it was fun. But the most relaxing time that I had was when I sat and ate with the blue-collar workers. There was no pretense. There was no great sophistication. They were down to earth. They had their problems. And they told me about them. You know? We shared things like that. You didn't do that with people in top management. Right? There's a difference. So how are you connected with them? With management people, conversations is all business. Most of the time. Unless you can find out what their likes and dislikes are, and if you can find out that they like golf, well, then you start talking about golf, and so on and so forth. But there's the middle management people that you have to put up with. First line management, second line, third line. These are the kind of guys that like to show how clever they are. And they'll sit there at the dinner table and they'll start asking you some questions that are just absolutely asinine as far as I'm concerned. Just trying to trip me up, you know. Okay, yeah, who cares? And sometimes when it gets so stupid, you say, oh, tell you what, I'll get back with you on that. And I do. I did. And they play these games to make you look foolish. It's not in the playbook that we have. We do not, in any way, shape, or form, accept that kind of behavior because we know the Word. The Word. I've got to ask you something about this. This is really strange. I heard it this morning. Nancy Pelosi was asked what she likes and what she didn't like. Did you like this? Do you like that? Do you like this? And then they asked her, what word do you like? What word? W-O-R-D. What word do you like? And you should have heard her rambling on. She's the Word. She's like, I really like the Word. And then she expounded a little further. The Word. And she says, the Word dwelt among us. And I listened. And she went on for about a good 3 minutes about the Word. Now, exactly what I figured I was going to see. Huh? That's exactly what I thought. I thought, boy, this I got to bring up. Yes, she was talking about Jesus, the Word. And the way she, and I hope that somebody else will be able to put it on the air too, because what she said was very poignant, very poignant. And I sat there and thought, now, if she knows the Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he dwelt among us. If she knows the Word, she's a sister in the Lord. How do you connect up now? It's a good question. How do you connect up with her now? How do you feel about it now? Makes you think. It just makes you think a little deeper on what your likes and dislikes are. It's good, isn't it? And then along came these guys on the radio that were talking about it, and none of them had any clue as to what she was talking about. Not a clue. No idea. What the heck is she talking about? What the, what kind of a rambling? And away they went, you know. And that was conservative radio. what would you call it? speaking with ignorance. Speaking in ignorance. But then it's good to know that there is something going on there that really causes you to think. Who is your sisterhood? Who is your brother? Who do you want to get connected up with? How are your connections with the city, the people right here in this congregation? How well are we acquainted and connected up? Being in connection with our Father in prayer and supplication, we'll find a peace, a humbleness that will give us the better direction. We have a rule book, and when we study it, we will be drawn to people because he'll make it that way. And possibly find favor with them. And then hopefully, along the road, bringing them to the Lord. Now, the Apostle Paul admonished Timothy to join him in the suffering for the gospel. You'll find that in 2 Timothy 1:8. Remember, there's two Timothys. Like, we've got two Bills, first Bill and second Bill. Then we've got first Bob and second Bob. You know, we're following the Bible, aren't we? Yeah, out of the mouth. Out of the mouth of clowns comes nonsense, right? So Paul was telling Timothy to connect up with him and to bring the message to the Jews and Gentiles alike. I remember when I was a member of another church, we went up to Brighton, I believe it was, the town of, had a little fair, a picnic. And being good evangelists, we put on skits and gave out tracts. And it was a lot of fun. It was talking to people that, and tell them who we are and what we're about, you know, talking about the Lord. It was just a day that really went by fast. And we were doing really well until I created a little bit of a commotion. I saw a group of men standing in the middle of the field, and they looked like the Hutterites that I knew up in Canada. And they had the black hats and beards and the black suits and the white shirts and the black ties. And I thought, hey, oh, for crying out loud, Hutterites, how about that? So I knew they were Christian, so I gave out these tracts to these four men. And I turned around and walked away. I took about three steps, and I heard this horrible, what the I mean, these two guys, I turned around, and all four of them had red faces. I mean, they were screaming and yelling, and they called somebody over. It was the guy that was running the fair, I think it was, and then there was a couple of cops. They came running over, and I didn't know that they were Hasidic Jews. It didn't even dawn on me to think of them because I was so much into this passing out the tracts and talking to people and evangelizing, having a good time until I hit the bump in the road. It was more than a bump. Well, anyways, the peace and security came to a total dead halt. And even there was people everywhere watching this whole thing. And I was told in specific terms to stop plagiarizing or get off the grounds. Okay. Now, I know that the early Christians came up against much stronger opposition than that. I wish Art was here. I would like to talk to him about it. But it was a very strange feeling. I knew what I did was not wrong, and I knew what I did was a little tough on them. And it was, you know how you feel. It's just, did I do right or wrong? You know. But I felt that what I did was further in the gospel. I didn't care if it was, you know, if it hurt too many people, but I don't think they were hurt that bad. But I made a connection, but it got short-circuited. Well, let me add a couple more thoughts to this message. We all need connections. People without love of families are the ones who should, that we should be aware of, huh? Think of that. This is the job of the church. Love is to emanate from God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, people. We are the ones that are supposed to spread love to the world. The TV had a story on the kids walking the streets. I don't know if any of you heard or saw it. It was on the news, and it was about teenagers that are in the streets of Denver without any place to go. That's tough. I could not imagine myself as a teenager walking the streets, trying to find some place to sleep, trying to find something to eat. How do we connect up with them? How do we connect with these people? I know that we are just a small congregation, and we talk about some of these problems amongst ourselves, and we don't have much of a resource to make a big impact on this problem. But it only takes a spark to get a fire going. Just a spark. Now, how can we get connected up with this solution? To come up with a solution? Well, prayer. Lord, what would you want us to do? What would you have us do? I like the idea of what the food bank is doing. I know that the food bank is doing a great job right now. There's a lot of people are being helped when these at these times of stress and without a lot of people out of jobs. That's rough. I know what that's like. Marie and I went through a couple of times that were a little bit tight and tough, but the Lord pulled us through. Praise God. We don't do the food bank because we're drawing people. Very few people come to the Lord through a food bank, but the Lord knows what our hearts are doing. He knows our hearts, and he knows that what we're doing is helping the poor. And what you give to the poor, you lend to God. That's in Micah. Simply, do unto others. The Lord can use us in all walks of life. Maybe we will have a big part to play in the coming days in ways that we are not aware of. Our prayer should always be to be used by him. This is one way that depression will not come upon you and will put joy in your life. We see many needs in the daily lives, in our daily lives. But if we have a real deep sense of what Jesus was talking about, we will have a greater insight into what our ministry should be and what it's about. Now, is this the year that we're going to get connected up with some kind of a community problem? Who knows? I hope so. I hope that we can come up with something. Not we, the Lord, because I'd rather have him be the head of state than anything else. We do have a good start here. The church, food ministry, and most important, Jesus showing us the way. We've got a lot going for us. We've got to spread it around. We've got to show it to other people. And like I said before, we need to, excuse me, and we should be able to spread this love to the people that are hurting. And it's not very hard to find people that are hurting. We've all seen them. We see them almost every day. I often wonder, when I stop at a stop sign or a red light and I see somebody that's hurting, I think it's hurting because you can see that the shoulders are bent over, the head's bowed down, there's no spring in the step, yet it's a young man or a young woman. You almost want to jump out of your car and say, "Can I help you?" I wonder What would happen if we did do that? I know that we've done quite a few things in this church. There are many things that we're going to do yet. We're going to see the joy of the Lord. We may see problems, but we're going to get through them. Right, Marie? You better believe it. Or Bill? You know? There's a lot of hurting people. Pray for them. Pray for them. There's nothing more difficult to handle than a spiritual weariness or a spiritual dryness. Those things can tear a person down so much and so quick to the point of death. And we've seen it. We're seeing it in the papers and the magazines, whatever we read and wherever we go. We see it, we hear it. And we think, oh, there's another poor guy having a problem. It's more than that. It's more than just a problem. It's something that the Lord is showing us and we're not doing anything about it. All these little thoughts that I talk about tonight, they're thoughts about what I've felt in the last few months. And it's a heaviness. But then, of course, a lot of things that came up with our family and some of the problems that we were facing, that we're coming through. We know that, first of all, Jesus is right in the middle of the problem. The Holy Spirit is in us so that God and Jesus know exactly what's happening and they're working on that problem right now. Remember, whenever you're talking to anybody, let them know that God knows exactly where they are and he knows exactly what he's going to do about it. What are they going to do? Give them the onus of saying, I got to follow God. I have to follow Jesus. Jesus is the answer to every one of our problems. Sometimes it's slow, and sometimes it's a very quick fix. And when they get connected up, they get the joy of the Lord. They come out of it slowly, maybe quickly. You don't know how the Lord's going to do it. He's going to do it in some manner that'll give joy, peace, and comfort to the hurting. And we bring the love to them. They get the comfort. Amen. Man. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Far beyond anything I could imagine that you would give me. When I was young, I walked away. But I'm so thankful that you were after me all my life, guiding me and directing me. I'm not perfected yet, Lord, and you know it. None of us are. We have imperfections. But oh, we know with a joy of anticipation that you're still working on it. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Jesus, for being in us and each one of us, showing us the way, the truth, and the life. And we come up to you, Father, in the name of Jesus, with a great thank you. Praise you, and all glory in your name. Amen.